Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into this extra edition of the Rebel Report podcast. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you guys are with me. Don't forget to subscribe if you have not already. Hit that subscribe button, leave a comment and a like, and also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, just search for the name and subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. Pete Golding talked for the first time as the head football coach at Ole Miss. And there was a lot there. I've got seven cuts for you from Pete Golding's first media op, and anything from talking about Tulane to what the last week has been like, Charlie Weiss Jr. staying on for the playoff, and more. So I've got all that for you and some reaction to what he said on this edition, this extra edition of the show, brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. Tell them I sent you, and you'll get $1,000 off the top on me. Any in-stock new Toyota, check them out. Toyotaofbrookhaven.com off of Exit 40 in Brookhaven. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely to be one near you. They will make you their priority every day because that's what they do at Priority One Bank. Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. If you're in the market for office technology, copiers and printers, mail machines, whatever it is, if it's technology and your Mississippi business needs it in the office, ABSMS.com. All right, seven cuts from Pete Golding for you. And we'll start with the standard answer, the most standard answer that you got from him in this entire 27 minutes of talking. He was asked about Tulane. What can you take away from your first matchup with Tulane earlier this season in which you won by 35 points? Here's what the now head coach said about their playoff opponent upcoming here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, obviously, first, I think they're very well coached. I think, you know, John's a good buddy of mine. They do a really good job, really well coached on offense. Really concerned about them coming in the first time they play. They're multiple in personnel and obviously got a quarterback with experience that I thought presented a lot of problems coming into the game. Obviously, coming out of the game, created some turnovers, played really well on offense, a lot of explosive plays. You know, but the big thing now, man, I mean, that feels like years ago at this point, right? It was early in the season, and they played really well lately, and they're coming off a really good game and got some confidence in winning the conference championship and create a lot of turnovers. So we know we're going to have our work cut out for us. Obviously, having been at Bama for all those years, we're used to playing somebody twice. You know, once you go to that SEC championship game, you're playing them twice. A lot of times the Division II and 1AA was the same. So you got to look back. You can't get away from who you are, you know, but you look and evaluate that first game and what were they trying to accomplish? You know, what did they have that they didn't take advantage of that we got to prepare, you know, for that they're going to come back with? So it's a good combination of, you know, okay, what was the plan there? What did they attack? All right, what was their game plan? And then, all right, now how are they going to complement it and when to address it to get to the same concepts with different ways? So it's good to have some comfortability with it, but also our guys got to understand that that was years ago. You know, what happened in that game has no indication what's going to happen in this game, and our preparation has to be on point, and we got to be ready to roll and have really good plans and have a great week of practice.
So pretty standard answer there. Obviously, the Ole Miss won by a lot the last time these two teams played. I think Ole Miss had a clear advantage on the lines of scrimmage. But as Golding said there, it was forever ago. I mean, a lot has changed from then to now, and you should expect a better shot from the Green Wave in this game than what you saw earlier this season in Oxford. All right, he was asked, this is a good question and a good answer, what the last week has been like for him since he realized or found out or whatever that he was getting the full-time job to going to the Selection Sunday, quote-unquote, press conference?
A lot of lack of sleep. You know, probably the least amount of sleep I've had since, like, Vegas in 07, probably. But, no, I mean, obviously I think, you know, on Sunday, kind of when that thing hit, you just hit the ground running, man. I mean, I think, you know, for me, it was the players at that point, and all I could think about is, you know, the promises that I made in recruiting and talking to parents and the things that I promised, you know, and the example that I was trying to set and all their hard work. To make sure that, you know, we didn't lose that. And so I felt like at that point it was our responsibility to try to retain as many staff members as we possibly can. From that point forward, it was our responsibility to try to save the class as best we could. Really wasn't concerned from a defensive perspective. But obviously, you know, when you're first called an offensive guy is Tuesday at noon, you know, you don't feel real good about it because obviously the retention of the offensive staff as well. So it wasn't really much time to think about it. And then my transition went to the players after signing day. So then we brought them back in Thursday. We had a team meeting and we kind of broke up into groups that we call get real groups and just kind of let them talk and try to get a pulse of the team, try to get how they felt about the situation. And then, I started meeting with them individually on Friday. We got them back, on the grass on Friday, getting them running around, and then gave them the weekend off, and we'll get back and attack it tonight at 6. So I think they're in a really good spot, man. I think it's a player-led team. I think we got a lot of guys wired the right way that aren't getting caught up in the emotions of everything that occurred, that this is still the 2025 season. We're not talking about 2026 yet. I told them I view myself as an interim head coach right now, and we're not going to reinvent the wheel. This thing was heading the right direction. Right now, I look at it as like the COVID year. There's two games we didn't have Coach Saban, but, Sark walked us out the tunnel, and we still beat the shit out of Auburn. So, we got to do what we're supposed to do. The play callers haven't changed. It's going to be in our preparation and how we practice and preparing really well to give us our best chance. So I think getting back to our normal routine of what they're used to up to this point is really, really important.
That quote right there, a pretty long answer, tells you a lot about the timeline in which he had to operate from getting the head job to trying to keep a staff together. And then you got signing day coming up. And then obviously now it's playoff prep. I mean, just the immediacy of everything that he had to deal with and how quickly he had to deal with it all. I mean, one day, boom, 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 three different things, major things all happening incredibly fast. And then the quote about player-led team, I think that is something that we've talked about during the year, really, about why this team or how this team has been able to overcome specific adversity that it has faced both on the field and off the field. You very clearly have a football team, even in this portal era, and a team that's built through portal mostly, the strong leadership that you have on this particular football team to be able to block out all this stuff. I mean, as we told you during when it was going on, and as you're learning after the fact, you had a frustrated football team before the Egg Bowl. They felt like they were being misled, lied to, strung along, those kind of things. And sure enough, they were able to overcome it. You've got a really strong core of leadership on that team. I think he alluded to that. Next one, Charlie Weiss Jr. going to stay on as offensive coordinator for now. He was also asked if that's going to be a long-term thing. Here's what Pete Golding had to say about his current offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, a lot of these guys on Sunday just wanted to create opportunity. And what I mean by that, the message of them leaving the building never was they weren't coaching in the game. The message was 1,000% I'm coaching in the game. I have to give me, my family, an opportunity at the end of this, whenever that is, what's best for me, my career, and my family. So there was never any inkling at all that Charlie Weiss wasn't calling the plays in the games. And that came from him to me and him to Keith Carter. And at the end of this thing, whether that's him being the OC at LSU or him being the OC here, that's up to him and his family. But, I made it a point to him, Charlie. I don't want to talk about 2026. I said about 2026. This is about 2025, right, and doing what we're responsible to do for the players, right, to put them in the best position to have success because they deserve that. So it was never not that for Charlie. And so whatever he decides, that's no different than every player in our team and every coach on our roster. In January, whenever it's over, everybody evaluates where am I at. Am I where I want to be in my career? Do I have better opportunities for me professionally, right, or my family, just like the players do? So we'll address all that after that we did create a really good plan and hold these guys accountable and go play really well.
So that makes the statements that were released from LSU look even dumber than they were at the time. As we've talked about, when it comes to the concerns about Charlie Weiss Jr. staying on through the playoffs, I think listening to Pete there kind of gives you a clear indication that any worry that you may have had about that becoming a problem, you don't need to worry anymore. You never really needed to. Obviously, offensive coordinator is different from head coach, but the people involved are also quite different, and I do think that you can trust and believe that you're going to get maximum effort for this team from Charlie Weiss Jr. I believe Pete Golding when he says what he did there and that statement as well. I don't know if you can – maybe publicly they're not going to announce anything until the playoff is done. I don't think you can wait until you're done playing to decide on your future at offensive coordinator, because what if you win? If you win, then you are playing into the portal opening period and you need to have answers. And right now you're in the tampering period anyway. I think you need to kind of have answers about your future at offensive coordinator. I don't think that question is going to linger through the duration of the playoff? Because let's pretend for a second that Ole Miss beats Tulane and Georgia. I mean, you're playing into the portal window. I don't think you're going to have to wait that long to have an answer on who the offensive coordinator is going to be and where he is going to come from. I don't think it'll linger that far. Who's it going to be? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of talk about John David Baker right now. That is an interesting one. I know that some of you anyway, because we talk about it, are concerned about would he be a candidate if he did not have ties to Ole Miss. I think that's a legitimate concern. The concept, just dismissing the concept of nepotism or familiarity is, I think that's wrong too, just as much as it is wrong to dismiss a guy like John David Baker because he has ties to Ole Miss. These are nuanced discussions that, you know, nobody really has nuance for anything anymore. Is this person a candidate simply because he has ties to Ole Miss in reference to Baker? No. I think when you coordinate a top 10 offense on your own that is a very similar system and similar style to the one that Ole Miss is currently running, that makes you a candidate more so than your ties to the institution. What I don't like is hiring people with ties to the place only because of their ties to the place, like a getting the band back together type of feeling around hiring staff. I don't like that. I don't like recruiting players just because of where they're from. I think Ole Miss needs to look beyond Ole Miss when it comes to getting players and getting coaches. When it comes to this one, though, I don't think it necessarily applies because he's gone out and done it on his own and done very well on his own. So bringing somebody like him back into the fold, it's a lot different than just hiring somebody because they're an Ole Miss guy, if that makes sense. All right, he had an interesting quote about the selection show, by the way, and expectations for the program moving forward. So here's that. He was asked about meeting with his leadership council and discussing the selection show. Really good quote here.
I think this is something that this program is going to be the expectation moving forward. That's something that I'm used to. That's something when you invest a lot into programs and you're aligned right from the top down, from the chancellor to the athletic director to the head football coach to a really good growth collective led by Walker Jones and you elite really good players, this should be the norm. And I'm not going to lie to you. I called the Players Council in last week and I was like, look, the selection show Sunday, we can have a party if you want to. We can have a watch party. But to me, this is the expectation. All right. Y'all came here, right, coming off of last year, and we're pissed off that we weren't in it last year. Y'all came here, right, to make sure we were there. So if you want to have a party and blow balloons up and have food, I'm good with it. Y'all are going to decide that. But we could be in there breaking it down and getting a good game plan together, right? So we're having a party after the game. And they were all on board. Let me have a little more time off and let's show up at 6 and let's go to work. So, you know, this is not a celebration to get in the playoffs and get your ass whooped. Right? You put yourself in a really good position to be able to finish this thing the right way and make sure we're controlling what we control. And that's our preparation and our plan and hold them accountable to play really well.
Love that in particular, because if you're trying to set expectations, right, if you're trying to take a program from where it was to where it has been over the last 6 years to where it can continue to be, making a massive deal as a team about just getting there doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because if you're telling these players when you recruit them, the goal is to not just make the playoff, but to win games and compete for championships, well, then why would you lose your mind about getting selected into a playoff when you already knew you were going there? And so little things like that, that the way you act is the way you are. And so a little thing like that might not seem like much, but that tells his football team that this isn't special. You were supposed to be here. So now you need to go back to work and lock in, because just getting here is not good enough. And I love that kind of messaging from your head coach. And it also, by the way, is just another example of the talking point that you've seen from some. Well, you should let Lane coach the playoff because you may never get back there. That is such a loser's mentality that people have been trying to push on you. That, well, you may never get back here. You'll never be this good again. It's crazy to throw it away. You're not throwing it away. And anybody at Ole Miss that thinks that way needs to be shown the door immediately. Luckily, you have a chancellor, an AD, a head coach, staff members, players that don't think that way. But the, you may never get back here, so you have to sacrifice everything and let a guy that, anyway, that take that position that people had is reflective of somebody that is a loser. Forgive me. I don't like going like, you know, New York sports talk radio guy on you, but that's a loser mentality. You may never get back here. If the 12-team playoff had existed during the Hugh Freeze era, he would have made it multiple times. Houston Nutt would have made a 12-team playoff. This is a program that can get right back into the exact position that it's in. And the idea that you have to sacrifice everything and continue to stroke the ego of somebody that did get you there, but he's not unique. Other coaches would have gotten you there too had the playoff been what it was at the time. So I'm glad that Ole Miss did not fall for that kind of garbage in this cycle. All right, here's another quote on Pete Golding and the focus being on the wrong stuff.
For me, it was, you know, we've been through about a month and a half, right, that all the focus was on everything that didn't matter. And the focus wasn't on a team that went 11-1, that busted their ass, that did everything right to put themselves in an unbelievable position to have players, right, that had really elite years because of team success that should be able to get individual accolades and aren't, because we're talking about the wrong shit. And so, like, for me at that point, like, this has nothing to do with 2026. Like, this is 2025. In a normal situation, I'd be the interim coach. We'd be celebrating this team, this town, this university, having the ability to host a playoff game. Why the hell would we make it about me when it really doesn't matter? They don't give a shit whether I run them out or not. Like, let's put the focus back on the players where it should be. Let's get ready to finish this thing the right way. And then if you want to have one in January, have one in January. And let's charge everybody to do it and make it in rev share and whatever. And let's go get better players. All right. But like, this does not matter right now. We're worried about the wrong stuff. And there's a bunch of kids in that locker room right now that need to get the focus back on them. Because at the end of the day, all right, they're going to determine whether we're going to win this game or not, right? By their execution and their preparation. It ain't going to have nothing to do with what the head coach's name. I can assure you that.
You may have just-
How refreshing is that to hear, by the way? We've talked about that all season long, is the players that have gotten to this point have not been given the appropriate national attention simply because the discussion, the distraction has been the head coach of all things. And hearing that from Golding, I think is really important, because there's a lot of players on that team that have deserved to be recognized in ways they have not. To this point at all. And it's a shame. I mean, Kiwon Lacy should be in the Heisman discussion. Trinidad should also be in the Heisman discussion. These should be national household names, names that people are arguing for. You sat back and watched your team fall twice in the rankings after not losing, and head coach was silent. Meanwhile, you've got Clark Lee wearing Pavia apparel doing interviews right now, trying to get his guy as promoted as possible to win a Heisman. That if I had a vote, I would vote for Diego Pavia for Heisman. So it's good to see that the focus now can go back on the people that have deserved the focus through the season, instead of the crap that you, the fans, and the players have had to deal with for the last few weeks in an otherwise pretty incredible season. All right, this is another good question, another good answer. Pete Golding's immediate reaction when he found out that he was going to get the job. There's a money quote in here, and it's pretty good right here.
Immediate reaction was, I got my ass up out of my seat, went straight out the door to try to recruit offensive staff not to get on an airplane. That was my immediate reaction. So I couldn't tell you the years, the money, and I still can't, right? Does that make sense, right? So it's like, hey, man, I got a lot invested in this, just like these players do at this point. Right. Let's try to keep as much in the boat as we can, and then go find some other ones to put in if we need it. Right. To go make a run. So it probably still hasn't set in, and I don't want it to set in. That's my point to the players. I'm not looking at my responsibility any different than it was when we went to game one right now. Right. Does it have a different role in front of more people in certain times and in team meetings and all those type of things? Absolutely. All right. But as far as what my responsibility is, this team, to get guys prepared, and went from one side of the ball to an entire group. All right. But kids are kids. Right. And the room got a little bigger, but nothing else changed. I'm not changing who I am. Right. I ain't changing what the hell I wear. I'm going to yoga. I'm playing. I ain't doing any of that shit. Like, I am who I am. All right, we're going to roll. We're going to do this thing the right way. I've done it a long time around a lot of good people, right? And we're going to give it our best shot and see what happens.
I don't know about you guys. I sense that there's been some frustration within the program about how everything has gone down. But your approach from your head coach is going to be different. And that doesn't make it better or it doesn't make it worse. It's just going to be different. I've got another quote for you, actually, that I'll play, and then I'll expand on this more. He was asked about, like, the sideline antics and all that, if that's going to continue to be the identity of the program. And here's another hilarious quote mixed in there.
I think everybody in the country today is talking about Ole Miss football. Why? Because they're in the playoffs. People talk about people that win. And I don't care what they dress like, what they do. Is there notoriety outside of things? Absolutely. But if you win games and you compete for championships and you put guys in the first round of the draft and they get drafted and you recruit at a really high level, right, and you recruit good players on signing day, then they're talking about the football program for the football program, for the development of the players, for winning football games and continuing to do that. So, no, I'm not. I'm not a Twitter guy. I won't be a Twitter guy. Right. So I got my new contract. They can fire me at any point. My ass will be at the beach. All right. So again, I am who I am. We're going to recruit really good players. We're going to have NFL style systems that aren't going to change the building of systems. We're going to hold our guys to a high standard just like we have. Right. And obviously, we're going to win a bunch of games in the process.
Hey, Pete, I know.
All right. A couple of really funny quotes mixed in there. Forgive the language, guys. Sorry. I didn't give you a warning ahead of time. But his approach is going to be different. I do hope, though, for the sake of Ole Miss, that there isn't an immediate reverting back to everything that Kiffin did was bad and change all of it. Because not everything Lane Kiffin did was bad. They won a lot of football games. I would caution to just try to flip the entire program up on its head just because Lane Kiffin acted like a complete clown on his way out the door. A lot of things that he did worked really, really well. And it seems like fan base mentality has changed over the last 6 years as well. And the brand has been a lot about Lane Kiffin, right? That the Ole Miss gave him everything and just kind of let him be the center of attention. And it worked. But now that he's gone, you might be scrambling for identity. But that doesn't mean you have to change everything that you do. And I did like that from Pete Golding is, in part, he's going to be different. So be yourself, be authentically you. But there's another quote in this press conference that I didn't play for you where he talks about, hey, what's happening is working. So to change that doesn't make sense because they're winning a lot of games. The system is productive. It's working. They're winning. Mentioned that directly about the offensive coordinator. It doesn't sound like he wants to change their process or their approach offensively because straight up it's working. What they do offensively is working. It's attractive to players. It's leading to wins. So Pete will be different. And I think that's going to be refreshing that your head coach is not tweeting cutegraphics.com memes or bothering women at hot yoga, that he'll be more, you know, the only thing he'll put on Twitter is a shark. And he's just going to kind of be all about football all the time. That will be a refreshing change of pace. But I hope that some of the things that Kiffin implemented into the program don't change just because it was him that did it. The operation has been really good. They've been winning a lot of games. So it sounds like from listening to Pete, he's going to be different. But they're not just going to blow it all up just because Kiffin left them and people are mad. That is a refreshing thing. You don't have to change everything. What you've been doing, it has been working. Some tweaks would help. A different mood from your head coach, I think, is not the worst thing in the world. But to change it all would be a mistake. Also, he did mention that has not decided yet what he's going to do in terms of coaching in the booth or coaching on the sideline. Long-term, said he's done both. He was on the sideline at Alabama. He was on the sideline at Ole Miss. There's benefits to both. I wouldn't be surprised if in the playoffs they don't change anything. And then this offseason they make adjustments, but we will have to see here in a couple of weeks. But really good stuff from head coach Pete Golding. And I hope you guys enjoyed hearing from him in some of these thoughts on that. Really appreciate you, as I always do. Don't forget to subscribe. Like all that good stuff, and I will see you guys on Tuesday night for the live stream. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.